In this lesson, we're going to go over the four primary ways to document a system and learn how to choose the one that's right for you. Whether you've created a system or a routine that's very simple or very complex, you're probably going to need a way to store that information so that you can recall it, you know, when you need it. That is especially true if what you've created isn't just for you, but also for other people who are, you know, going to need to know how it works and be able to, you know, reference it. So there are four primary ways to do that that range from, you know, quick and easy to more complex and time-consuming. You can memorize your system, literally just store it in your brain. You can create a simple checklist to use each time the system needs to be run and, you know, check off each task as you do it. You can build flowcharts with all kinds of advanced logic, you know, that you would follow. And you can use project management software to store everything online and share it with others. None of these four options are inherently better or worse. Each one serves its own purpose and is, you know, better suited for some situations, while a different one may be the better choice in other situations. Also, none of them are mutually exclusive, so you may find that a combination of them is what works best for you. Sometimes you may only use one, and that will be more than sufficient, and other times you might want to use all four of them in order to, you know, capture everything that you need. So try not to think of it as, you know, choosing one over another, and instead think of it as choosing the best fit. Consider the, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of each option and put them together in a way that gets you as close as possible to the outcome that you're looking for. And to do that, of course, we'll need to get familiar with those strengths and weaknesses. So let's go over each of them now and look at, you know, the different scenarios where they fit best. So first up, we have memorization. In a nutshell, that means, you know, keeping all the pieces and details of your system right in your noggin. That's really, you know, the default way to document and access any system because, well, you're already doing it. You know, you have to do it to create a system in the first place. And for some systems and routines, it's all you need. Memorization is great because it's accessible everywhere. If you're running a simple system with just a few steps and you need to be able to recall that system, whether you're at your office or, you know, wading through the mud in the jungles of South America, you'll be able to do it. When you store information in your brain, it comes with you anywhere you are. That's pretty obvious, so let's go over some of the other pros of memorization. You know, there's no tracking required. So keeping track of where you are in a process requires no outside resources. Again, you just keep it in your head and make a mental check mark each time you complete a step in your system. Need to know where you are? Just take a moment to remember the steps that you've already done and you're back on track. A memorized system is always up to date too. One important thing you understand about systems by now is that they usually need some tweaks and changes over time to be the best that they can be. If you're doing a really formal documentation process, you might hesitate to do the work to update a system because, well, it takes some effort to think through everything and redo all that documentation. But when it's all in your head, you know, you can add or remove, you know, or rearrange the steps of your system, you know, to your heart's content in the blink of an eye or snap of a finger. You make a mental note and, you know, off you go. And memorized systems are quick to execute. So you don't have to spend any time, you know, looking for information about what to do next or how to complete a step. It's all in your head. And when you want to run the system, you just do it. If you have a system that doesn't require too many steps, is easy to remember, and you're the only one who needs access to it, then memorization is probably the answer for you. Memorization is also great where some really complex decision-making is required. You know, the kind of critical thinking that is just incredibly difficult to get out of your head and onto a piece of paper. But many of the things that make memorization a great solution for simple personal systems make it kind of awful for others. For starters, they're really fragile. They're easy to forget. Most people don't have as great of a memory as they think they do. I know that I don't. If your system, you know, has a lot of steps, it can become really slow trying to remember where you are in the process. And that's especially true if the system, you know, isn't one that you'll completely execute in just, you know, one sitting. If you have to come back to it, you know, over time to finish it, you might end up repeating steps that you've already done or, you know, missing ones that you forgot. So if accuracy is really important, memorization might not be the best choice. And sometimes motivation is a problem. It's easier to just decide not to use a system that only exists in your head. Creating something physical to represent it can give it a kind of authority, you know, that you sometimes need to keep yourself on track. And a memorized system is great if it's only for you or for a few people with regular and easy access to each other. You know, if you need to know the status of something, you can, you know, just have a quick conversation about it. But memorization does not scale well. So if you need to share a system, or worse, collaborate on one with more than a few people, trying to keep everyone in the loop while everyone keeps the info, you know, directly in their head is a recipe for chaos. Memorized systems are, you know, they're opaque. You can't see into them from the outside. You know, that's fine for some situations, but certainly not for others. Next up, we have checklists. So checklists are basically just one step removed from memorization. Instead of keeping everything in your head, you write it down, you know, or type it down, and now you have something physical to refer to. They're usually really easy to access, so you can keep them on a sheet of paper, a whiteboard, in your phone, almost anywhere. And checklists can even handle some basic logic. You probably, you know, don't want to get too complex with it, but if you need to make sure certain steps happen in the right order, you know, or some simple decision-making needs to happen between steps, a checklist will serve you pretty well. And checklists can even work, you know, really well for groups. If you've developed a team process that, you know, a lot of people need to follow, a checklist is a pretty simple way to make sure everyone's on the same page. Post your checklist in a common area and have each person check off their steps as they complete them. And ta-da! Automatic tracking. From doctors performing surgeries to families doing their weekend chores, checklists are a simple and versatile tool that can handle a lot of different systems. But checklists also come with some downsides that you'll need to consider. First, they're just not very good at capturing complex logic. You can do some, you know, very simple logic like ordering or, you know, skipping steps, but if analysis and decision making is an important part of moving between the steps in your system, you're probably going to find checklists to be lacking. You know, they can also be difficult to audit, you know, to ensure compliance. This is especially true if you're not actively involved in the system. Maybe you've helped develop the system, but other people are the ones who are using it. Trying to track down progress and make sure that steps were done correctly from afar probably isn't realistic with just a basic checklist. And that might be an important feature to have, you know, if you're working with a mission-critical system that a lot of people are touching, and it's important to know when different steps were completed or, you know, how they were completed. A basic checklist can't really handle that gracefully. If you keep your checklist in one place and everyone uses the same one, updating and distributing it isn't too hard. But if you have multiple copies of a checklist floating around in, you know, many people's hands, and you need to make a change to it, well, good luck with that. It might not be too bad if just a few people need to know the changes, you know, and be trained on their updates. But if we're talking about a big group of people distributed over a large area, whoa, that is going to be tough. A checklist might not be the best solution there. Finally, checklists don't give you much opportunity to provide context within them. And what I mean by that is checklists work best when you can communicate everything that needs to be understood about a step in, you know, just a sentence or two. But if there's a lot of information that needs to be communicated about how to perform a step, where are you going to put that on a checklist without making it really long and difficult to use? Now, this can be overcome with training. For instance, you know, doctors use checklists every day to perform really complex surgeries. One step on a checklist for them might be to open the patient's chest cavity. Well, there are probably a few years of medical school that need to be communicated in order to do that single step properly, right? So if you're working with highly specialized people who, you know, have the training necessary to figure out all the complex details to do from a single sentence on a checklist, then that's not such a problem. Or if you're willing to perform that training, you know, each time someone new interacts with your checklist, then it's also not a problem. But if you need lots of people with, you know, various backgrounds to be able to operate the system, then a basic checklist probably isn't best. Though you can still use a checklist, you'll just need to pair it with another solution that allows you to document more complex info. All right, let's talk about flowcharts. A flowchart, you know, like you probably know, is a set of instructions for how to do something. It's just like a checklist, or even memorization in that sense, but a flowchart has one tremendous advantage over, you know, those other options, and that is that it can handle complex conditional logic really well. As you navigate a flowchart, there are lots of ways to insert information between steps that can tell whoever is using it what to do next based on the outcome of what they just did. So flowcharts are really good at handling and providing instruction on decision making throughout a system. So when branching becomes necessary in a system, a flowchart is probably the best solution available to you. Since a flowchart can handle branching really well, it can also handle multiple goals well, since different branches within a system can lead to different outcomes. So if operating your system feels like, you know, playing Plinko on The Price is Right, then a flowchart is probably your best bet. Flowcharts are also great for teams because they can provide context to everyone involved. It makes it easier for everyone using a really complex system to see, you know, how it flows and how decisions are made at, you know, different steps within it, even if they aren't directly involved in those steps themselves. It helps them, you know, visualize where they fit into the big picture. That kind of transparency can help reduce team anxiety and, you know, really increase motivation. Everyone can see how the steps flow or don't flow to them. So they start getting better at knowing when to expect to be involved and, you know, how things happened before the process got to them. But flowcharts also come with some of the same challenges that checklists do. They're hard to audit. You know, you can't usually look at a flowchart and see where you are at any given time when you're working with a team. It's a static thing. You know, it can't really provide that kind of functionality. And just like checklists, it can be difficult to communicate changes. This problem is actually magnified with flowcharts. When one part of a flowchart changes, it usually affects many other parts, you know, downstream. That's not good or bad by itself. It just makes it hard to update everyone when a change happens. So choose a flowchart to document your system when you need to capture a lot of decision making. Just know that making changes when a lot of people are involved might require a little patience. All right, the last documentation system that we'll talk about is project management software. I'm talking mostly about web-based software like Trello, Basecamp, or Asana, but many industries also have their own niche software that's specifically built for their needs. Now, I'm not going to get into specific platforms here because it's pretty fast-moving technology, and you know, by the time I finish this video, one will probably have, you know, closed shop, two more will have been created, and one will have completely overhauled its feature set. So instead, I'm going to go over the general pros and cons of putting your system in a project management platform so you can see when it'll work best. The primary benefits of using an online platform are actually really big ones. So first, most platforms are mainly designed to be a kind of a meta system. You know, a place to warehouse and store many different systems. So if you've been doing the work throughout this course so far, then you've probably built up several different systems. Some of them may be just for you. Some others might be for you to share with your family or team. And some might be simple systems, while others are relatively, you know, complex. A software platform gives you one place to store and recall all those different systems. So whichever one you need at any given time, it's usually just a few clicks away. That can solve your organizational problems if you've been thinking, you know, where do I keep all this information? A web platform also makes updating and distributing information pretty trivial. In most cases, when you need to change something in one of your systems, you make that change in one place and it's automatically updated everywhere else that it needs to be. Project management platforms can also integrate with many other online systems that you already use, and that can be a really big benefit. So if you use your email, for instance, to keep track of tasks, or you know, your team uses a chat system to talk to each other, or you know, you store all of your files in a cloud app, you can often find a project management system that will integrate all of those tools so that information across different platforms becomes a lot easier to access. You know, it can help you make a system faster if you often have to, you know, go looking for information in different places as you go from step to step. And probably the biggest benefit for teams is that status and deadline management is much better in a shared online platform. So with everyone working on the same copy of something and the software's ability to automatically track progress and, you know, create alerts for deadlines and other important events, anyone can see where you're at in a system at any time. The software can do most of, you know, the admin work for you so that you can focus on making sure, you know, the really important stuff is getting done faster. Those are the primary benefits. But, you know, what about the drawbacks? In my opinion, there really aren't that many. You know, at least not many that outweigh the benefits. So here are some to consider, though. First, a project management tool is probably overkill if all you have are, you know, a few really simple systems for yourself. These tools are pretty robust, and if you don't need all the features, you might just be, you know, weighing yourself down unnecessarily. Another risk is that, you know, if you stop using it, your data can become siloed, meaning that you have to either keep using the platform or abandon everything that you've built on it. Lots of tools come with an export function so you can take your information with you when you leave, but in my experience, they don't do a very good job of organizing that data in a way that would be very useful to you if you needed to leave. Of course, there's also the general risk that, you know, anything that you expose to the internet could be hacked or stolen. I don't worry much about this myself because if my systems were stolen, it wouldn't really harm me or anyone else. In fact, it'd probably just make everyone more efficient. This is really only worth worrying about if your systems require working with really sensitive data that would cause maybe a, you know, a catastrophic loss if it were compromised. Probably doesn't apply to, you know, most of us, but good to remember. Then, of course, you know, data can be stolen when it's written down as well. So most of all, what you need to understand about project management tools is that they kind of exist in their own category outside of the other three options that we discussed. Any decent project management tool can create checklists, and some of them can even do some, you know, limited flowcharting. So it's not really about choosing a PM tool over one of the other options. Instead, it's about figuring out when you need the benefits that come from a PM tool and then using it in conjunction with, you know, those others to get everything that you need. Think of it as a way to add helpful functionality to the other three solutions. In practice, you could even find yourself using all four documentation solutions to some extent in a more complex system. Maybe part of a system needs a flowchart to navigate really well, but other parts work, you know, fine with just a checklist. And maybe a few sub-steps are really simple, so you plan to memorize them rather than, you know, write down something that should be, you know, obvious. And this is just one system of several you have, so you store it online, you know, with all the others and make use of deadlines and assign different team members to different steps when you need to. It's all about, you know, mixing and matching to find the combination that works best for you. You don't have to try to cram a system into one solution or try to use the same solution for all your systems. You know, instead, when you need to document a system, look at it on its own and decide, you know, which parts need which treatments. Then decide if it'll be helpful to, you know, manage it on a project management platform or, you know, if it doesn't need that and can live somewhere else. So here's what we learned in this lesson. First, we talked about when and why you might want to document a system that you've created. Then we went over the four primary ways to create that documentation. You know, there's memorization, simple checklists, flowcharts, and project management tools. And we looked at the pros and cons, you know, of each solution to figure out when each might be more or less useful. Finally, we learned that these four solutions are not mutually exclusive. You know, you can combine them in any way that's most helpful to you. And you might use just one or even all four of them on a single system to get the level of detail that you really want. So my challenge to you today is to think about a system that you've worked on in this course, and then decide which of the documentation solutions would work best for you. Think about what's needed most at each step, you know, as well as overall. Then try to match those needs up with one or more of the solutions that we just talked about and try to actually create something, get something down on paper or, you know, load it into your project management platform. When you finish that, then I'll see you in the next lesson.